Well, I hate to interrupt, but we got a lot of stuff to cover this morning, so I'm going to invite you to return to your seats. Well done, well done. Thank you. Just one announcement before we move into the remainder of our time here of testimony and worship. Testimony is worship as well, but just one announcement. We are having a potluck this Saturday night at the Bender Barn. There have been some reminders in the weekly email. There'll be one more this week, and it will have specific directions for those of you who haven't been there before. But please come. We're going to do it 4 till 7 o'clock, I believe, on Saturday. And so being a potluck, it means we bring something for ourselves as well as something to share. And we've actually invited those from the Dream Center that would like to come as well. So we may have some guests, some friends, some brothers joining us as well. Hope to have some other faces around the tables as well, and we're going to have some time, some games and some good conversation and good food. I heard there was moose sausage. Is that right, Kevin? Kevin? Moose sausage? I believe you promised that last week. Okay, so come for moose sausage. Last chance. And we're going to enjoy our time as a family together. All are welcome, so please come. All right. There's no sermon today, and sometimes I hope no one feels gypped by that. Testimony is a different way of telling about something God is saying and doing. And you actually see this happen in Scripture quite a bit. In fact, Psalm 66, verse 16, the psalmist says, "Come, all you who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me." Some of the Psalms are testimonies of what God has done. And so we are going to enter into that pattern of worship, of celebrating God, of putting the spotlight on Jesus by sharing about what he has done in and among us. And so it's an exciting time to do that today. And about a year ago, we had Dallas Kaju come up to the front and share her testimony of how God had been intervening and working in her life in a really dramatic way. And we went from that testimony to the river and baptized her. And then shortly after that said, "See you later," and sent her off to YWAM, where she continued to meet God and serve God in some really awesome ways. And she and Kate Stober as well went together and then shared testimonies when they came back of the things that God has been doing in their lives and the ways that they had seen him at work. Well, Dallas has an update to share with you. So Dallas, would you come on up and I'll pass you the mic and you can share with your church family who's been praying for you for a long time what God is doing next in your life.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, as most of you guys know, as Ben said, I went to YWAM last fall. I was in Hawaii for 3 months for lecture phase and 3 months on outreach in Jordan. And yeah, God just like completely changed my life when I was at YWAM. Like, it's hard to kind of explain like just how like my mind and my heart was like completely transformed there. And yeah, when I was in Jordan especially, God was kind of moving my heart towards missions and long-term missions. And so yeah, God was kind of speaking to me while I was there that like I wasn't going to live like a normal life. And so yeah, it sounds kind of scary, but so when I came home, I knew that I wanted to do something with YWAM again. And I was kind of thinking about maybe like a 3-month Bible school or something like that, but I didn't really feel peace about it. And I kind of felt God like calling me into something harder and longer. So staffing at DTS was really on my heart. And so I was praying about it, and yeah, I really felt like that's what God wants me to do. Oh, sorry. DTS is what I did, so it's like a 6-month long, the lecture phase and then the outreach. And yeah, they have staff on board. So like during the lecture phase, they help with the school and they disciple students one-on-one and yeah, lead like a room of people. And then on outreach, then they lead a team somewhere in the nation, so coordinating like all of that. And yeah, there's a 3-month, so I'll be gone for that 6 months, and then there's also 3 months before that of staff training where you learn like just biblical ways to be a leader and, yeah, like learning how to lead a team to a nation you've never been before. So it's a 9-month long process, but I also committed for 2 years to be a long-term missionary. So, yeah, that's it.
Wow. What I love about what you are sharing here is that you took your life and, you know, you finish high school and you say, okay, I'm going to do this thing, God, and it's got a 6-month window, right? And that was already a big step. And you came out of that going, I'm going to continue to hold my life before the Lord with open hands and say, what do you want to do with it? That's really awesome. So it's 3 months of training, 3 months of starting ministry, leading the people who are going to be training, going through what you went through last year. So you'll be like a mentor, a peer, discipling one-on-one. And then you're going to outreach wherever you are sent for the next 3 months with a crew that you will be leading.
Yes.
You don't have to be very old to be a leader, do you?
No, you can be 18. And I'm 19, so.
That's awesome. So how can we support you?
I feel like I'm on like Shark Tank or something. So the cost of it for over nine months is about $12,000. So yeah, that's just...
You need help.
Yeah, I need a lot of help. Mm. So yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe, yeah, pray about it. I take cash or check. I don't know.
I think I quoted my friend who said God's will is God's bill.
Yeah,
the last time you were up here.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. But God's bill often ends up in the pockets of his people. And it's really up to us to say, okay, we're seeing God at work in your life and we're going to acknowledge that. Sign here.
Yeah, like in all seriousness, like last time I went, like my church, like you guys, like really helped me financially, and like I really appreciated all your donations like so much. And I understand, like, I've just been like, they during staff training, then there's a lot of like lessons about fundraising and stuff, and just like the importance of like having like the body of Christ like support you like in prayer and also like financially. So I just want to thank you guys for what you did last time and hopefully what you'll do this time too.
Okay, that's awesome. Thanks, Dallas. I know that's not an easy thing to do, right? But it's one of those honest conversations that we have, that those who work in ministry are supported by those that they serve. And it's an act of trust. Can you clarify one thing for us? You said that you've committed for 2 years. So is it committing to doing this three-month process again a number of times? Or is it something else after these 9 months?
So when you like apply to be a staff, then they have like a 2-year commitment. Like that's what you're supposed to commit to, is like 2 years. So like 2 semesters. So yeah, after I do this 9 months, then probably maybe come home after, I'm not sure. And then yeah, 9 months again is like the commitment that you're supposed to give to them as mm-hmm. like a school.
So. Okay. And you said that it was $12,000, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that over the 2 years or is that up front or how does that work?
Just for the 9 months, like it's for, so over 9 months I'll need $12,000 for like on campus, like housing and living expenses and the outreach as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so just over the 9 months.
All right. Friends, we have some things to pray about, not only for her, but then how we can support her, both in prayer and other ways. So please take that to the Lord, and please show your encouragement to Dallas as she models for us holding a life before the Lord with open hands. Would you give her a round of applause and say thanks? James, Brother James, you're up. It's been a privilege getting to know James over the last couple of years, and I'd mentioned a few weeks ago that James went on a missions trip, and so he's going to share both about the mission trip that he went on, going to the Dominican Republic, and then James is being baptized today, and he's going to share about his journey towards baptism and why we are doing this today.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. So I signed up. So I go to LTD. I do it with Jared, Jessica, Evan and Shay here.
What's LTD?
And LTD is Leadership, Training, and Discipleship at Gull Lake Center. And so it's just like a teenage program that you do. And it's really awesome because you get to learn about God. And I'll explain more about that in my baptism. But we had to figure out how I can play my part in God's kingdom. And so Kate Stober went on the trip last year. And like her and her friends told me all about it. They're like, you gotta go. So I'm like, okay, sounds good. And so I signed up in September and we started preparing. And every Wednesday, or like every other Wednesday, we'd meet at 7 in the morning and just prepare our hearts. We'd pray, we'd learn about Dominican, and yeah, just prepare our hearts for what the trip would be like. And I talked with Ben and asked for prayer from him and from my family and lots of close friends. And I was really praying for wisdom on what to do in situations when I got down there, and also to be humbled. And so I just have a couple stories about how God was able to do that. So we got there, and the low was 24 degrees. So it was pretty hot. Like, you'd get out of a shower, and you'd already be sweating. So it was really nice, and we got to go work at a school. And so every night, we got encouragement letters. And my sister wrote me one. And she wrote that she wanted me to be confident. I'm like, come on, Abby. Like, I'm a pretty confident person, but okay. And she said she wanted me to take, like, a leap of faith almost and, like, trust your instincts and take a leap of faith. And the next day, we were working at the school, and I was just throwing a frisbee with some kids. And I'd seen my friends, like, dancing with, like, a group of three kids, and they looked like they were having the time of their life. And somebody threw the frisbee over my head, so I went to grab it, and I was walking. I was like, man, I should maybe do a cartwheel. I was like, no, I can't do a cartwheel, but I should try one. And so I grabbed it, and I tried to do a cartwheel, and they got what I meant because they all started doing cartwheels, and there was like seven kids. And then I started doing like random TikTok dances. Like, I was trying to teach them how to do the whoa, and just like the most random things. And they like multiplied, like there was seven and then 14 and then like 21. Like, they just kept coming in, and I'm not a dancer if you've seen me, but I tried my best, and it was just really cool to see how like my sister had encouraged me in a note, and then I like took that leap, and yeah, it was like one of the highlights of my trip. I really got humbled when we went to the work site, and so we had to mix cement and carry it upstairs. And the stairs, I don't know if somebody was having a rough day when they were building them, but one was like here, and the next one was like a full lunge, like you had to like all the way up, and then it was like three mini ones. So I just about tripped every time. But we'd take the cement upstairs, and there were guys putting cement on the walls. And I tried doing it and got it in my hair because they told me to throw it harder because I threw it light and it didn't stick on. So they're like, you got to throw it harder. So I, as hard as I could, and all over me. But it was like really difficult to do that. And the guy that was doing it got paid $10 for the entire day, and he worked like 8 hours. And I was like, holy, like, I can work at McDonald's for like $12 an hour. And he's doing a job in like 40 degree heat and barely getting paid. And yeah, it just really humbled my heart. And then the next day we got to build community boxes and take them into a community. And we saw a guy, and we like would like pray for the guy, bless him. And we saw a guy, and so Haiti and Dominican are like right beside each other, I think. And so Haitians will come to Dominican and like vice versa. But there was a Haitian there, and he didn't have his ID, or like his ID didn't work in Dominican, and he was really sick, and his foot was like the size of a football, and he couldn't get any help. Like, he'd go to the hospital and they wouldn't take his ID because he's Haitian, and he couldn't work because he was sick. And yeah, it just kind of broke my heart because he like had nothing that he could do. So we gave him a community box, and when we were in the community, we saw a store, and they sold individual like cheeses and meats and crackers, because I know I can go home and like grab a pack of Welch's or like a Clif Bar or some cereal, but they couldn't buy enough for a week. So they'd go to the market that day and buy a bun so they could eat it for lunch. And then that night, if they had money, they'd go back and eat it for lunch. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it encouraged me to, yeah, be more humble, but it also like put a calling on my heart. I wanted to go into missions eventually. Don't know when that will be, but at some point we'll see. That's about it.
That's cool, James. So you saw God waking you up to a different part of the world, and you started to share his heart for it as you saw kids that were needing to be engaged, as you saw a man who was hurting, and you felt God's heart for him, and God sort of showed you that, hey, I want you to be involved here, and I can use you. One of the other things that I really noticed in talking with James as we had coffee to just talk about this trip was the way that the Lord was using him to be a leader among his peers. And it's particularly difficult to be a leader among peers, particularly as a teenager. And it was really cool to see the way that God brought that out in different ways. And so it's been awesome to see God at work in your life as you've been processing LTD stuff, as you've been processing this trip, as you've been processing baptism. So why don't you share now about your journey towards baptism and why you're here for that today? Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is my testimony. My name is James Arthur, and I've been going, well, my parents are pretty old, and they've been going to church. They've been going to church here for ever since I was born, which is a long time. And when I was 4 years old, I'd go to Sunday school like every Sunday. And when I was four, you know, me and my mom were chilling in the car, we're driving home, and I was just thinking. And I was like, man, I want Jesus to be my friend. And so I told my mom, and that's the start of my journey. So I was 4 years old, I wanted Jesus to be my friend. So I kept going to Sunday school, learning about him. And when I was eight, I was playing hockey. And obviously I was eight, so I was not very good at hockey. And there was a face-off. And, you know, the guy dropped the puck, and I accidentally tripped him. And he said some nasty words to me. And I didn't really know what they meant, but I knew they weren't super nice. And that's when I, like, had a moment of realization, like, oh, man, not everyone's a Christian. And my sister did the LTD program. And I kind of explained a little bit, but it's basically a 3-year leadership program, and you volunteer, or you have an LTD week where you learn how to be a good leader, and then you practice that throughout the summer, and then you have like 3 retreats throughout the year. And I recently graduated from it, and my sister was in LTD. She told me to try camp out. So I was like, sure, you know, I'll give it a go. And I went with Jacob Motz, and we went to camp. And my mom went to pick me up, and I told her, I didn't say hello. She came, and I just told her, I want to do hockey camp next year, because I did not like camp, and I did not want to go back again. But through constant persuasion from my mom and older sister, I decided to try it out again the next year, and it was really good. And I kept going back and going to Sunday school and eventually like starting to sit in the services, and kept learning about God. And then I applied to LTD. And thankfully, my sister was cabin corps, so she was in charge of all the cabin leaders. So it was kind of easy access for me. But I got in, and it was really cool LTD week because my parents are amazing. But my faith has kind of been theirs because they'd like take me to church, and it wasn't like I wanted to go. Like, I did like it. But it was kind of like, we're all going to go to church. I'm like, okay, I guess so. But when I was 14, I went to LTD. And it was amazing because I got to accept God into my, like, I'd already accepted God, but I got to take it into my own hands and be like, no, this is my faith. And I want to go to church. And I want to learn more about you and be in a relationship with you. And so I spent the entire summer there and came back. And then I asked Ben for a reference, and he's like, yeah, but we got to get coffee. And I'm like, sweet, double whammy. Like, I get coffee and a reference. This is amazing. And Ben talked to me about baptism, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that, because I was going into a time where I was going to be at camp, but he kind of planted a seed in my ear. And so level 2 was great, and then I came home. And then level 3, I asked him for another reference letter. And again, he said, well, we got a coffee. And I'm like, sweet. So we met for coffee, and he talked to me about it. And that's when I like kind of seriously considered it. I was like, oh, like I do want to live for God, but I don't know if it's the right time right now because I was about to go to camp and I was pretty busy. So I told him to, yeah, talk to me in the fall after summer. And LTD week is a week that's meant for like the people who are 14 to 17. So there's staff there. And it's just a week where you learn how to be a leader and just spend so much time together. And camp was an amazing place where I felt the love of God all around me. And I could like see God in everyone. And so it was a Tuesday night. And a guy named John just came over to me in worship and prayed that I'd be strong like Joshua. I'm like, I know Joshua, but like I hadn't read in a while. So I kind of forgot who he was. But the next day, we learned about apostles. And we had this, we had these two really cool speakers and they talked about it. And then we had a time of reflection. And I'm not a very stressful person for the most part, but I was starting to stress and I was like, what am I going to do next year? Like, I'm kind of lost. And I've always struggled with hearing God. And at camp, like, I'd sometimes hear other people be like, oh, yeah, I hear God all the time. Or, like, they see God everywhere. And I'm like, man, like, that's not me. But the night before, somebody had prayed that I'd be strong like Joshua. And then I was really praying to God. And I was, like, really intentional. And I was like, God, what do you want me to do next year? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And I was sitting outside, and I had a journal. And, like, the page flipped straight up and, like, just stayed there. And I'm like, it was the wind. I was like, what's going on? And then on the bottom was Bible verses, and I read it, and it was Joshua. And I'm like, no way. And so I read it, and it was Joshua 1:9, and it says, be strong and courageous. Or it says, do not be discouraged, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Because I like had heard God, and I saw it, and it was just really cool. And I felt so connected to God. There's like a camp high and a camp low. So you're like connected to God, and every week you're spending so much time with him, and then you go home. And I go to church on Sunday, and maybe young adults on Monday, but the other 5 days are focused on school, sports, chores, everything else. And so, but my friend had told me to start reading the Bible. Well, we have to, but to start reading the Bible and journaling. So I started doing that, and I was being pretty intentional. And then Ben reached out, and he's like, let's get a coffee. And I'm like, okay. So we got a coffee, and he mentioned it. And at that time, I was like, I don't think I can be baptized yet because I was struggling with sin. And, I just didn't think I was ready. And then I got COVID, and I sat at home for a week, and I was really sick. But I sat at home and kind of just, like, reflected on my entire life. And realize, and Ben had talked to me about this, but that's when I kind of realized, like, you don't have to be perfect to be baptized. You have to be willing to take that step and say, I'm living for you. And so then I was like, in my heart, I knew I was ready. And then I went to young adults, and we saw this really cool, it was a sign, and it had legalism going down, and then grace on the other side going up. And it was like steps. So legalism, or like religion, kind of classically says you have to first change your actions and that will change who you are. And then you can build a relationship, whereas grace says you have to build a relationship. That will change who you are. And then that will change your actions. And so that was after I decided I want to be baptized. And then it was like an affirmation. I was like, I know I'm not perfect. Everybody sins. I'll keep sinning. I'll try not to, but just that it's not about the sin, it's about being willing to take that step. And then I went on Dominican and just really connected to God. And yeah, that's my testimony.
Should I go down? Do you have any questions or I'm good to go?
Great job, James. We're all really proud of you. It's really awesome to see the way teenagers take steps of making their faith their own and recognizing my parents laid good foundations, my school, my church, all of this laid good foundations, but I need to be the one who builds on them. And I need to make it my own in a way that's going to be mine for the rest of my life. And you saw that come out in James's story over and over again of him making his faith his own. And that the baptism is that final step of making it your own. You don't have to reach, like he said so well, you don't have to reach this certain point of now I am holy enough to become baptized. It has nothing to do with how holy or unholy you are. It has rather to do with, and James and I have had this conversation, Jessica and I have had this conversation, Anna and I have had this conversation. It's we use the image of it is a funeral where in baptism we die to ourselves. And as we come up out of the water, which is symbolizing the grave, it becomes a wedding. And we are going to live fully committed to Jesus, not sinless, not holier than everyone else or anything like that, but we come up out of the water to a wedding and say, I am committing only to Jesus for the rest of my life. And teenagers in particular, baptism becomes that important step of saying, I was raised with something and I have believed it to be true, but I am now at the point of saying, I can say I do in this wedding analogy for the rest of my life. And that it's at that point that you should be baptized. And so James has been on that journey for a while, and it's wonderful to be able to celebrate with him now that this is the, we're going to the altar today. And what a wonderful privilege that it is to be witnesses of joining, seeing James joined to Jesus for life. So awesome. Well done. Thank you so much, James, for sharing your story. Very encouraging. We're going to worship a little bit more, and then we will have some more testimonies. Our next one up is Jessica Bunny. Come on up, Jessica. You're the next contestant. No. Welcome, Jessica. Jessica's been another one of those who grew up here in the church and has been in this process as well of making her faith her own. And so her story is unique, but you will also see parallels with James's, no doubt. But thanks for taking the time to put together a story to share with us. So I'll give you the mic and you take it away.
I first start this testimony with a poem I wrote, A Conversation Between God and I, which I had written while I was struggling with change and how I've been facing so much change in this upcoming year with graduation and all, and my fear that it will steer me away from God. It starts out like this. Restless, my body moves from the sun's slumber to its wake. It finds me scrambling underneath the tree, trying to find comfort in this aching body. Is it me, I ask, who will always be ever searching, grabbing at anything I must find whilst it slips through my fingertips? Must the oceans roar and change? Will these seas ever still? Is it me, O God, who cannot ever taste satisfaction's glory and grab onto it like a crutch? No, it isn't, he replies softly, for it is the way I bent your branches, how I've let the winds blow into your colorful leaves. For me, you are this tree, and do trees ever stay the same? Their branches may fall, their leaves may wither, but yet new leaves can grow, new flowers will bud. They do not stay the same, they change. Each year it looks to be a different tree, yet it is still rooted in the same place. As long as you take your water from my endless well, your fruits and leaves will sprout endlessly. You're my beautiful and unmovable masterpiece, planted in the soil of my garden, where so many trees like you I have planted and given them food when hungry, water when thirsty. Don't tell me you do not live wholeheartedly. I have handcrafted your very being to be a testimony of my grace. So I would like to tell you how my story is a testimony of God's grace and look into the deeper, more personal ways of how he's been working within me. I think it is safe to say that my whole adoption story is a testament of his grace towards me. I was adopted into an amazing family with so much love and care for my brother and I. I have never once questioned why I had been placed in such a family. It was by his own hands that Jared and I, who had already been proposed to another family, had gotten to be one of the bunnies instead. I grew up going to church, and I remember as a child loving Sunday school. All the stories and grace that was shown throughout the couple different churches I went to amazed me to the point that it just became a fact to me that God was real, no other questions. But as I got older, of course things changed. I got to form my own perspective on life and no longer had my mother's hand in mine as I walked the streets of life. God planted seeds into me so young and let them grow slowly in me so that I could feel deeply rooted within him. Yet because of this, I was ignorant to his subtle calling and his movement and didn't really pay much attention to him until I started LTD in grade 10. LTD for me was like this foundation where I got to learn so many different things about God, and most importantly, learn how he talks to me and how I can listen. That is where I learned to listen through guiding. It didn't come to me suddenly. Instead, it was a gradual build, and it took me 3 years to learn how to have meaningful talks with God. And through it, I find myself using my journal to ask questions, and instead of just stopping at the end of the questions and continuing on as I used to, forgetting what I had asked and altogether not listening for an answer, words would continue flowing out of me, and I found God speaking through me and touching aspects of my life that I never yet considered. While during this time, I thought of God as this really big guy who, though, was too good for me, who I thought was too good for me, who had so much better things to do than to talk to me, but he did. And when I found the way that he spoke to me, it really helped change the way I didn't only see God, but my capability to form a relationship with him. I was always so confused when I heard people say God told them this or how they felt God pushing them to do this, and I never understood why I couldn't myself. I thought God was more of a people person than a personal, than a personal God. He wasn't. He was both. And the answer was for me to listen, and I did. And listening doesn't just mean opening your ears in silence, but opening up your heart to hear things that you may not want to hear, or seeing things that you may not want to see, and taking them as God's gentle hand pushing you forward into a new direction. It took many small steps to hear him and let him lead me as I do today. At first, I stuck to prayer every night, but I still struggled with the listening aspect. My conversations with God were sparse because they were wrapped up with the guilt of the so many years of ignoring him, or the way I declared myself for him, but yet still walked a path of darkness away from him. Then one day, I wrote this. I have glanced at the sun, I say. I have seen its whitened teeth bared to the heels of my feet as I walk this forgotten path. The smell of wet grass rises from the earth. Dirt sticks to the soles of my feet. The wind blows melodies into my hair. And all I can see is look at me now. Has this climb I have started worthy of my happiness? Am I allowed to look down this hill of longing and see how much I have left behind? How much do I not look like my old self these days, God says. And I cry, because if I am a stranger to him, then who will know my name? And I force myself to take another step, weary. I ask him if it is a long road ahead, if I am almost near the end. And he replies, daughter, I have seen the way you glance meekly at the past like it will save you. You let it engrave words onto your skin, brand you like a slave. You are no slave to the spiraling downwards path, but a growing tree that I have planted. Only upwards you will sprout. Anywhere you go, you will grow, because it is me who has watered the seeds and nourished your roots. I want you to turn your head, look away from the nightmare of before, and cherish the warmth of tomorrow. There is no one but you that can keep those shaking roots from moving forward. So then I kept moving forward, and I tried to not hold on to my guilt, but used it as a ladder to lead me into the right direction. I've made many mistakes in my teenage years, gotten wrapped up into toxic relationships and life-changing habits that I thought would tear me away from him completely. Yet God used it as a way to bring me closer to him than I ever had felt before. This year, something happened where I thought I ruined our entire relationship and whatever I had built with him before. I knew better, but I thought that was it. And I couldn't see him even trying to make an effort with me, ignoring me until I either made myself get better or turned away from him completely. But that was not the case. Throughout the times I feared the most, he was right there, and so present I could practically feel him with me, his hand guiding me through the darkness that I found myself stuck in. I learned that God can take anything in my life and turn them not just into a lesson, but a way to grow closer to him. If I had turned away and just ignored him, maybe I wouldn't have reached where I am today. But because I didn't, I got to explore the depths of how to exit a shallow relationship with him and find a way into the deeper waters. Of course, I couldn't do it myself. There was God with me the whole entire time, his hand resting on my shoulder. And of course, following God doesn't mean it comes easy, and my fatal flaw is how easily I find comfort in self-hate. And God constantly has to remind me how much he loves me, the extent of his love for me, and I remember me writing this in times when I was constantly messing up and just feeling honestly like a failure. This one starts out like this. You speak as though you do not understand why I love you. Child, those words make me laugh. My sole purpose is to love you. I have planted a seed in your heart for it to grow, and its branches to reach your fingertips so you can move as I move, and its roots to reach your toes so you can walk as I walk. I've paved a path so you will never get lost. I've hugged your cries, and I've placed them in my heart for you to feel no burden. And if you're forever to stray, I would go to the ends of the earth to find you. Child, how could you ever feel alone when I'm right there beside you? How could you ever feel unloved, for I remind you every day how much I love you and am present in the words you write? I want you to want me. I love when you want me, for I am yours and you are mine forever and always. This was when I wrote at camp while I was struggling with identity, feeling that I wasn't doing enough like other Christians seemed to, or wasn't good enough since I always seemed to be falling into sin. After writing this one, I remember not feeling much, feeling like maybe I was putting words into God's mouth or just spewing things that maybe I thought would make me feel better. But I remember a time when I was going back through my journal and I came across each one of them, I mean this one, and they both had made me cry, as at this time I was struggling again with doubt and self-hatred. I want my testimony to show that even the smallest things you do in a moment can help change you and bring you closer to God. It never has to be in that exact moment, but maybe a few months later or even just days. It doesn't matter. Whatever God has meant for you to hear, you will hear it, and someday you can use it to help you through the dark waters. This year was the year that brought God the closest yet farthest away from me. I drew away, yet he drew closer every single time and I wanted my testimony to show that God will never give up on you. Even when you think he has, he's right there. Lots of things God has told me has been practically Sunday school answers, but it is because they are so important that he loves us endlessly. And I personally forget that so much and try to do things on my own, thinking that if I ask him for help, I'm weak and a sinner who can't ever escape her own cycle of sin. Yet I am capable, just not by myself. This is the last conversation with God I'd like to share with you, and then this will be the end of my testimony. I don't think I've ever been so uncertain. Why am I here? Why I must be placed here? It's not that life is hard. I've been given the chance to breathe, but I don't want to waste my life just breathing. Then God answers, child, but the answer is not to hold your breath, since you'll find yourself drowning. When the waters fill your lungs, you'll forget all the reasons you were put there in the first place. And when you desperately try to find a way to the surface, my hand will be right there, but yet you blatantly so ignore it. And I figure it is, you have yet to find the meaning to breathe, but I've given this opportunity to you for a reason. Why must you throw it all away? Here's what I give you and swim to the top. Stop to close your eyes and listen to my voice. I promise I'll guide you there, to wherever I need you. My dear, I have never and will never leave you. I am these waters drowning you, yet I am not. And I understand you are confused. Uncertainty fills your eyes whenever you gaze up at me for a second and remember me. But if you are uncertain, you have me. I did not make you to feel certain. I have said, these wings I have gifted you don't move by themselves. All I'm asking for is to grant me your hand, and I will take you anywhere, anywhere. So no more crying, you are lost. You have always been locked in my embrace, protected by my wings. So breathe, just breathe. I would like to end this with my thanks towards my family for not only their boundless love and support, but always pushing me towards the right thing and to find God everywhere. I hope my testimony has helped some of you realize where you are with God right now. And even if it didn't, I am so thankful for all of you to be here listening to me talk. Thank you.
Great job, Jessica. That was a really not only poetic, but just a really beautiful testimony. I thought that you brought out sort of a rawness and honesty and a vulnerability in your relationship with God. And I love that as you did that, you gave space to show how the Lord meets you in those places. I love the way that you said, he calls me daughter. What a beautiful thing. That's awesome. The ways that he speaks to you and that you invited us into that conversational life with God was a real privilege. So thank you for doing that. You encouraged me, and I'm sure others here as well. So thank you. Jessica, I believe we had this conversation a couple of years ago. As we've journeyed with teenagers who are in this process of making their faith their own, you come to a point where you start talking about you're sort of dating Jesus, and it's somewhat okay to be in that process as you're learning to make your faith your own. And it's been really cool, again, to see someone who has said, no, I'm at the point of saying, and we had this conversation, I'm ready to say I do. And I can clearly see why. You can see how much that he loves you and how real this relationship is. So well done. Thank you very much. Would you show her your appreciation? Great job. And Anna, come on up. Let's remember, it's not easy to take a microphone, and so thank you to each one of you, to James and to Jessica and to Anna, for taking a microphone and saying, we had this conversation last week. It was it was a wonderful thing to get an email from Anna last week saying, I hear there are baptisms, and God's been talking to me about this for a while, and I want to know what my next step is. And Anna and Jamie and I sat down on their back deck last weekend and had the conversation about what baptism is and what God's doing in your life. And I said, Anna, do you want to share a testimony as part of this? And she said, yeah, like, it won't be easy. It's not easy to grab a microphone and share some vulnerable things, as Jessica just found out. And yet at the same time, it's a way of encouraging our family members and giving praise to God that, see, he's done these good things in my life. And so thanks for doing this, Anna. So here you go. You take it away.
So over the last year, I've actually learned a lot about testimonies and how it's a story of how you have come to know Jesus. There's so much to my story that I could share, but today I'm sharing about where I am currently in my relationship with Jesus and how I'm ready to take this next big step in my walk with him. One important thing when building a relationship with Jesus is to pray and ask God into your heart. I still remember when I was little and asking God into my heart. I was excited, as it was the beginning of a journey that was still to come. As I've grown up, learning, going to church with my family, hearing more stories about how God has worked in so many lives. And then later, having many years going to Camp Caroline and like being able to be in an environment where like everyone is there for God and everyone is there to know him more. And then the few years that it's kind of like the thing at Gull Lake, but the lead program at Camp Caroline was always really impacting for me and so many others, because even though sometimes camp is like the place where like, it was probably, James already talked about it, but about like where you're like so close to God and then you go home, it's like not the same. And then later, eventually learning how you can actually make like being home like camp, like being like disciplines and like learning all about like how to grow with him more, and also continuing like habits like at camp, like really like getting into worshiping and like just singing, and singing his praises has always just really brought me joy. And I've been learning more of what it means to live a life devoted to God, which means living for him, not ourselves. Because sometimes what we want isn't always what God has planned for us. This last year, I've actually had plans fall apart, and a little while after the plans that I had didn't go the way I wanted them to go, I learned and realized that's not what God wanted for me, and better things are ahead. Looking back at this last year, I have learned to have more obedience in understanding that God knows what's best for me. One verse that I have read many times in the last year is about trusting him. That verse is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. In learning about obedience, I know that Jesus has told us to get baptized, and I'm taking that step today. I'm excited because getting baptized means being all in my relationship with Jesus, and I want to say thank you for being here and celebrating with me today.
Great job, Anna. You also had a testimony that encouraged us as well. How many young adults would say, I'm learning that obedience is a good thing, right? How much of an example is that to each one of us? What an awesome thing to say. And this isn't the first time I've actually heard Anna say that. When we were sitting around on the deck last week, that was one of the things that she was sharing with me, that God's been teaching me a lot about obedience. And I said, wow, that's very cool, because that's somewhat unusual at this age and stage. And so it shows a real maturity in faith, in recognizing that this Jesus that I love can be trusted in hard times, and even when he asks me to do uncomfortable things, I will do it. So well done. Thank you very much, Anna. Well done. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to baptizing you at the river. We're going to continue on now with a couple of more songs and worship our God, because he's doing good things among us, isn't he? And here's another example of it. Thanks, Anna. Well done. Why don't you have a seat? We've got one more testimony to share of God's goodness. We just talked about how he is faithful through generations, and you've seen that at work here this morning, right? These are people who grew up in Christian homes, and there was faithfulness through generations that has produced fruit in an ongoing way. And part of being raised in a Christian home and part of practicing this faith starts very early. And so I'm going to invite Kristen to come on up. She wants to share a testimony of the ways that God is at work in Kids Church.
Thank you. Whenever it works, Everett. This is a picture of Kids Church when we're dismissed. After family worship time, we head to the boardroom at the front of the building. And if you were to join us for Kids Church, this is what it might have looked like. After family worship, we head to the boardroom and start by playing games. Sometimes it's apples to apples. Sometimes it's Uno, Dutch Blitz. Last Sunday, it was Fart. And this is important. You'll see it. It's there. It's at the back of the table. This is important for me to highlight to you this morning, because we are a normal group of kids who love Jesus and want to hear what he has for us. So we started Kids Church time by playing Fart. And then we're hungry, of course, and so we had second breakfast or snack. And before diving into snack, which usually leads to Kingdom Jesus conversations, we echo the prayer that you pray out here. Jesus, would you open our hearts and ears to hear from you? We welcome your presence in this room. And the Holy Spirit showed up last week, and he brought revelation. He showed us who he is, and he applied what we asked him to show us, and he interpreted what we were asking of him. Here's what it looked like. We've been reading and listening through the book of Luke this year. And last Sunday, we read the story when Jesus heals Jairus' daughter. And the older boys were wondering why Jesus sent everyone out of the room except for his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And if you go back to read this story, you'll see that Jesus heals Jairus' daughter right after he's done something really public. And he's just come to heal Jairus' daughter when he's healed the woman who's been bleeding for a long time. And so they were wondering, why is Jesus doing this miracle in private after he's done something really public? And I had some ideas. And I love to teach, but I bit my tongue and said, there's a bigger teacher in the room today. And I really encouraged each of them to ask Jesus. Ask him. He'll tell you. Ask him, Jesus, what do you want to tell us today? My phone keeps, like, locking screen. Tech guy? Sorry. So they asked him. So we had played a game. We had had snack. We close our eyes. We're kids, so it takes us a long time to quiet our hearts. And they said, Jesus, we want to continue the conversation with you. What do you want to tell us today? So we paused, and some of them had specific questions, and so I said, you had a specific question. Continue the conversation. Jesus, why did you do this miracle in private? So after 5 minutes, I always want to make sure that if Jesus reveals something, that it's for the whole group to share, because sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it's really personal, and that's for their heart. But today it was for the whole group. And after listening prayer time, we went around the circle. And one young man said, Jesus wants me to have faith. That's why it was in public or private. Jesus wants me to have faith just like his disciples did. And then another young man said, Jesus told me the Sadducees were around. Jesus told you the Sadducees were around. And we hadn't been talking about the Sadducees. We hadn't been talking about the Pharisees. That was Jesus' voice. Jesus said the Sadducees were around, and they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. No, they don't. That was Jesus. That was Jesus' teaching. And Jesus wanted to show his closest friends that he is the resurrection and the life, and that we should put our faith in him. Jesus also continued to back it up with scripture that we had already read in the previous weeks of looking into Luke. He brought that to mind for the boys. He confirmed it with more scripture and with his voice. Have faith. Trust me. This is a condensed version. If you'd like to hear more, any of those boys around the table would love to tell you more of how Jesus was the teacher last Sunday.
Well done. Some people have asked before, why do you teach kids to listen in prayer? I think you just saw the answer. Because he's the God who speaks. And because as all three of our baptismal candidates made very clear, this isn't a religion, this is a relationship, and relationships are built on communication. And so that is why we teach kids to listen and to pray, to ask Jesus, to go back to the scriptures and to do the back and forth conversation, because there's fruit, because he's the God who speaks. Thank you for being here today as we celebrate the God who speaks and works in the lives of our loved ones. We are going to the river now. And so if you don't know where that is, you're going to go Let's see, north on Taylor, you're going to cross the river. You're going to turn right on Kerrywood Drive, and then it's going to be your first right, 56th Avenue. Go all the way down to the end, to the BMX park. There's a parking lot there, and then walk down to the river. If you need help or need a pin, let us know. That would be great, and we will make sure that everyone gets there quickly. I'd appreciate some help with extra help with putting away chairs this morning and refreshing the bathroom so that we can get out of here quickly. And I'd like to talk to those who are being baptized and their parents up here so we can just coordinate a few last-minute things so that we can go down and conclude our service at the river. So you're not having a benediction here. We will have it there after we finish celebrating what God is doing among us. Let me just pray. Lord, we bless you and we give you praise that discipleship starts early on, knowing you and loving you, saying yes to Jesus and taking that next step. And thank you that step after step, faithfulness after generation means that we go to a river and we celebrate how good you are and we celebrate your work in people's lives. We celebrate that obedience is meaningful. And that you bless people who take steps of obedience and say yes to Jesus. Guide us through the rest of this time as we undergo baptism, as we help others say yes to Jesus. Would you make us people who will pray, who will encourage, who will equip, and who will continue journeying with our brother and sisters along this journey to say, Jesus is good. I see you at work, him at work in your life. You have encouraged me, and I have seen God today through you. So Lord, do amazing things as you have been doing. You are so good. Thank you for your goodness to this family. In Jesus' name,